Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by the inimitable Andrew McCarthy, former federal prosecutor, now pundit, columnist, author extraordinaire. You find him at Fox News and many other outlets, describing with great clarity and authority the nexus between national security and the law. His books, including Willful Blindness and The Grand Jihad, are simply required reading, particularly in a moment when the Trump transition is underway. And we want to talk with him about a couple of the dramatic exercises now underway in that course of that transition. Andy, first of all, let me just say welcome and thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Frank.
Let's talk first and foremost about this issue of the Russian hacking of American emails and the use made of them, according to intelligence services of the United States, for the purposes of intervening in the U.S. election. What do you make of this story and the response to it by the president-elect?
Well, I think we ought to be assuming that the Russians are trying to hack us all the time. I've long regarded the Russian regime of Putin as a hostile to the United States, and I'm happy to hear the Democrats finally think that's a problem, too, now that they're Ox is the one being gored. But I guess, you know, I'd be more impressed by the complaint if the Democrats were to come out and say that, you know, the product of the hacking we got was not authentic. As I understand it, the emails that they put out were authentic. And, you know, the fact that the Russians told, let's assume they hacked and had embarrassing stuff on both camps, and they chose to put out the stuff against the Democrats but not against the Republicans. I would think that that would be something that was serious, whether they put it out on both sides or not, because they're an enemy of the United States and they need to be dealt with. But on the other hand, you know, from the conservative side, I can only observe with tongue firmly planted in cheek that if they're worried about somebody who puts out for the public consumption one side of the story and does not subject the other side to any examination or disclosure, then that's what conservatives and Republicans deal with all the time from the American media. So, you know, it's unfortunate that they find themselves in that same position. But, you know, look, the Russians are a serious problem. I've been saying they're a serious problem for over a decade. If this is what it took to get to grab people's attention about it, I'm delighted to have their attention. But at the same time, you know, it was Barack Obama who just a couple of years ago was caught on a hot mic telling Medvedev that, you know, not to worry, after his election, he'd have more wiggle room to deal or more
flexibility, I think, is the way he put it.
More flexibility, right, to deal with his friend Vlad. So, you know, I think this goes on both sides. And, you know, we ought to just get used to the idea that, you know, Trump is going to be the president and Russia's an enemy and try to go forward with the world organized along those ideas.
Well, those are two key points, Andy, and one that is very important, of course, is that Vladimir Putin is not a partner with whom we can safely do business, as some would have us believe. And among them, Donald Trump has seemed to be one of those. There's a lot of thrashing going on as we speak about both that fact and the attitude that Donald Trump has taken towards these findings by the intelligence community, to the fact that Russia is engaged in trying to undermine our electoral process and so on. And also the question of whether or not a gentleman by the name of Rex Tillerson, the current chairman and CEO of ExxonMobil, who has extensive dealings and apparently a close personal relationship with Vladimir Putin, is the right guy for the Secretary of State. Would you sort of work us through those various connected dots?
Well, let's assume our premise should be that Russia is an enemy of the United States, right? I think we have enough of a record of that. If they're an enemy of the United States and they've got cyber capability, which they certainly have, wouldn't it be strange if the intelligence community told us they were not trying to undermine the American election or the American anything else? I mean, how surprised can anybody be that the Russians were trying to make mayhem, whether it's with our election or with our policy in the Middle East or, you know, with the situation in the Ukraine? I think that Putin would certainly like to see NATO, if not completely destroyed, shown to be more even of a shell of its former self than currently is on display.
But I guess, Andy, the point is that they seem to be, you know, drawing from all of this primarily energy with respect to the idea that he was trying to get Putin was trying to get one of the two candidates elected. And I guess that's the issue that moves this from just sort of business as usual with respect to the Russians to something that might be considered more nefarious, shall we say, at least by Democrats.
I mean, look, I'm not convinced that they've shown that to be true. I'd be stunned if they weren't trying to disrupt our elections, whether they were trying to do it for the benefit of one over the other. You know, there's plenty of unprobed evidence of Hillary Clinton bending over backwards to be helpful to the Russians, to the point that, you know, a lot of that was in the Clinton Cash a book that came out, what was it, about a year or 2 years ago. So I think we're a ways away from having any proof that the regime actually favored Trump over his opponent. On the other hand, I'd be very concerned about Trump's seeming insouciance about the Russians. I think that, you know, Obama and Hillary both started out in the first Obama administration with these similarly pie-in-the-sky ideas that they were going to reset the relationship with Russia and all was going to be well. I think it would be helpful to start out from the premise that Russia is a problem and act accordingly. So what I'm more concerned about is Trump's rhetoric up until this point, at least, that, you know, he thinks he can have a good relationship with Putin and that, you know, we're going to really work together with the Russians on this, that, and the other thing. I think he'd be better served by having, you know, a real skepticism about that instead of being the third administration in a row to take the.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that.
And for that reason, I think Tillerson's, if he picks Tillerson, that's something that's going to have to be looked at very hard. And that the hearing ought to be used as a basis for inquiring into not only this nominee, but what our relationship with Russia is and what it ought to be.
I have a high degree of confidence that will be the case if, in fact, this nomination goes forward. My sense of it is, Andy, that this is a trial balloon. I actually pray it is, because I think it would be a terrible mistake. And, you know, sort of offset some other very good decisions that he has made with other nominees to key cabinet positions, including people who've got, I think, it pretty well squared away what our relationship has to be with the Russians. Hey, Andy, very quickly, and we've only got a minute left, the Iran deal. Boeing is about to get a $17 billion contract. Should we be rethinking all of this, do you think?
Well, I think we ought to do my suggestion, Frank, is what it's been for years, which is that we ought to organize American foreign policy around the idea that Iran is an incorrigible enemy of the United States. To the extent it's possible to unwind what has happened in the Iran deal, I would do that. But I would certainly be working on new rounds of sanctions. And I wouldn't leave it at that. I would be organizing our foreign policy around the idea that this is an enemy regime whose ambitions need to be curtailed and whose provocations need to be responded to in an unambiguous way.
Elegantly said, as always, Andy McCarthy, and thank you for doing it on our air. It's appreciated beyond words. Come back to us again, if you would, very soon. Gordon Chang joins us next. We'll talk about One China and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.